Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you just heard me. Pony's out today. Big Don Football is in. It is the PM team. Welcome in. A bye week Wednesday. We don't have extra Mike Tomlin to react to or anything like that. We have a lot of position coaches who sounded off. We got a big show today. I want to start, however, I think it is relevant because there is a small market team currently fighting for its playoff life against a much bigger market team with a little bit more Pirates. Matt Clement will join the show in about 35 minutes, kind of his last major visit, I think, of the year. I'm not sure. We have maybe some off-season stuff to go over with Matt still next week or beyond, but kind of a catch-all with Matt Clement I have planned about what Travis Williams and what Ben Cherington said when they met the media. I want to start, though, with a little bit more Pirates because there is one thing we didn't really do yesterday on the show because it broke, I think, Don, pretty late in the program. We kind of treated it as like a curiosity almost. We had been tipped off by Dan Zangrilli that some stuff in this realm could be happening, and happen it did, and that is Oscar Marine gone. Brent Strom either gone of his own volition or just gone broadly because his contract might have been up. And Mike Rabello, third base coach, gone from the Pirates. So there was house cleaning a little bit if that's what people wanted to see. A bunch of coaches got fired. The problem is, to start today's show, the guys that you would think were the most responsible for the one good thing about the Pirates this past year, their very, very good, objectively very good pitching staff, were the guys kicked out the door. And I would argue that so much of whatever is going to happen this offseason, so much of what people wanted to see, were moves that suggested that adults were in the room making adult decisions and charting a course that at bare minimum made it appear as if the people who make the decisions understood that certain things needed to be done. Like, hey, you want to see the Pirates jump in and make some moves. You want to see action on their part. You want it to be the right action. So I would argue that if firing Ben Cherington was going to be something that people wanted to see, not just because it would mean a new GM, but because it would signal that what he did was unacceptable, parting ways on one, you know, term or another, for one reason or another, with the only guys who were doing what I would call pretty good work for the Pirates, does not suggest to me, regardless of the rationale, does not suggest to me that good things are afoot. You can speculate, does Paul Skeens have anything to do with this? Are they catering to their best pitcher and the best pitcher in baseball? Maybe. That's not the worst idea in the world, but it doesn't always work. There is going to be pressure, and I would think a lot of it, on the next guy who's in Oscar Marine's chair, because it wasn't just like Paul Skeens was great. Other players came up who were on innings counts. Young pitchers came up and did well. It's going to be a big task for whoever takes that job next to actually improve upon what was a very good staff this year. And here's the thing that I think is most unpalatable, has me once again wondering, what is the plan there? What are the people in charge? What are they like actually getting at here? There's one part of all this, these moves that were made, there's one thing that wasn't done that has me scratching my head. As of right now, as we sit here talking, the hit collector himself, Matt Haig, Pirates hitting coach, the guy who was supposed to fix what Andy Haynes broke only to break it even worse. Hey, I can fix it. And you set a blowtorch to it. Still employed. And so an offseason that just got started, that is, I think, at least in significant measure, in some measure, if you want to say, going to be defined by how much do the Pirates make maneuvers that create the impression of a serious front office that understands the gravity of its situation, the, wait for it, urgency of its situation, and the need to make changes. An offseason that's going to be defined, I think, by a lot of that and how we evaluate whatever moves they make under that rubric gets started with guys who did, I would think objectively, subjectively, a good job no longer being here. Guy who did, just for argument's sake, let's say a hitting coach can't turn chicken bleep into chicken salad all the time, but maybe can turn it into something a little more palatable. That guy's still employed. Guy who objectively and subjectively did the worst job in 25 years with this in his post, still here for now. I think I saw like Mackey or somebody tweet something to the effect that discussions are ongoing with Matt Haig. Aren't the discussions pretty simple? Hey, Matt, didn't do a very good job. All those guys sucked. Spencer Horwitz was okay. Tommy Pham was cool for a while once we got his eyes fixed. Everything else stunk, though, Matt. What would you say you do here, Matt? Hasn't happened yet. And so I am left starting today's show that way, scratching my head, because we were led to believe, I would think, by yesterday's, or by the comments from Travis Williams, by the comments from Ben Cherington, that they were very serious about improving this team. Williams straight up said that they were going to be better in 2026. Cherington said, and this was more player focused, we're going to have to take some, you know, bets, make bets on unproven players. Well, they're making a bet that they're going to find a better pitching coach than they just had, and I am not here to open the show with a three-hour filibuster or whatever on the importance of pitching coaches. I think good ones are really good, can be really good. I think bad ones can be really bad, but I think the majority fall in the mushy middle. The guarantee that we're going to get better means we're going to find somebody better than the guy who was pretty good at his job. The bets that they're going to make on unproven players might end up being made on an unproven pitching coach, and right now the hitting coach, he's good. Hello to the YouTube chat on today's show, as they are already chiming in with great aplomb. Don, I don't know. I'll toss it over to you here just to get the day started and get things rolling. And you can always hit us up on the fan text line, 412-928-9370. Also give us a call, 412-928-9370. It's all brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We didn't really react to it a ton yesterday. I don't want to make it seem like it's the single biggest deal ever. But when I juxtapose Marine getting let go or his contract expiring, Brent Strom, who I think he's up there in years, he is, but he was given a lot of the credit, I would argue, for some of the little turnarounds that certain players had or guys getting their feet wet in the major leagues and doing a good job of it. Those guys being gone now, while the guy who I think everyone kind of forgot about because their anger was so tuned towards the GM, the owner, the manager until Don Kelly took over, that guy, Matt Haig, being still here, kind of like, what are we doing here?
I think when it comes to the pitching, it is hard to justify, like, okay, why are we moving on from a unit that was seventh in the league in ERA? They led baseball in shutouts. Yeah, they're led by a guy who probably doesn't need a ton of coaching, doesn't need a whole lot of fine tuning.
Other guys weren't sure things, though.
Right, you know? Right. And they did have at least a handful of young guys come up here. Were they all absolute 100% success stories? No, but I think a handful of them at least were better than expected. I don't think many thought Braxton Ashcraft would have the season he did. I don't think many thought Mike Burrows would have the season he did. You saw those two guys and thought they would be more short-time stints. Who knows if they would even stay on the big league roster.
You thought they'd probably have growing pains, didn't you? You thought there'd be, for some of these younger pitchers who are not that experienced in their mid-20s, I think there was reason to believe that you were going to have growing pains.
We got Bubba Chandler up here late in the year, and really beyond that one blow-up start he had against Milwaukee, we saw a lot of good in his game. And, you know, really the handling of him when it came to when he got his promotion, that to me would have nothing to do with the team's pitching coach.
The last three starts Bubba Chandler made, he pitched a total of 16 and two-thirds innings and gave up two earned runs. Pretty good.
Isaac Mattson was a good story in the Pirates bullpen. Dennis Santana was great pretty much the entire season.
To whatever degree you want to chalk this up, they fixed David Bednar. Like, the major league pitching coach still has, like, is still keeping tabs on him when he goes down to the minors. And I'm sitting here saying, maybe time to send David Bednar to the glue factory. Did you hold on to him too long? He comes back up and he's really good. I give the player the majority of the credit, which I do in most of these cases. The pitching coach isn't just sitting there idly by going, well, good luck in Indy. Hope you can figure it out here, bud.
Yeah, and not everything was perfect. And I do think people point to that like, well, Bednar needed fixed in AAA, or what happened the last couple of years with guys like Quinn Priester, who are now one of the better pitchers on the best team in baseball, Quinn Priester. Like, that's one I think people have hold-ups with, but I mean, all in all, it's hard to be upset about the job that was done. The only thing that would make sense is if Paul Skenes and a few others were not huge on Marine's coaching.
I've got to believe that Skenes gets consulted on something like this. I mean, that's not to rip Skenes. He kind of has earned the right already through 2 years. If he feels like maybe there was stuff that was left, stones left unturned, that there was performance levels that hadn't been checked yet, boxes that hadn't been checked, levels that hadn't been reached, that's fine. I don't want to sit here and make this out to be the biggest deal ever, but like, let me put it this way. It would make a lot more sense if one of the little bones you were going to throw to your fans, and there haven't been any, because like Charrington getting fired was the big one that they could have done and they did not. They extended Don Kelly and did the old look over here, not over there, while they told everybody that Charrington was coming back, Dom. The other things that you could do are like to fire coaches like this or to let contracts run out. And it only really makes sense as a peace offering to your fans or a sign internally that we're not going to put up with X, Y, or Z if it's Matt Hague getting 1 year on the job and then being done. I mean, what is the argument for keeping him? They were a historically bad offense. I went over it yesterday. I think 13 teams since the year 2000 had fewer runs in a season than the Pirates in a whole season of baseball. 13 times a team in 25 years did this. Did it worse.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to really justify why he should get to stick around. I mean, and really, I think the only thing playing for him is, well, it was just 1 year. It was just 1 year, and things... imagine if things wouldn't get better, too. Like, imagine if we go into 2026 and it doesn't get any better. I'm not going to say that it will happen, but I don't know how you're not concerned, because outside of a few players... Everybody, and I had Noah Hyles on yesterday. He did like a whole media tour.
Congratulations on all Noah's success. He made the big announcement that he is moving to a new role with the Post-Gazette. He's going to be kind of storytelling. And my little news hound nose says he's sniffing eventually, maybe a year or two down the road, columnist Noah Hyles filling the shoes of a Ron Cook or somebody like that, Gene Collier, stalwarts, the Noah Constrictor. He, by the way, on his way out the door, man, did he do some Pirates coverage for them.
Woo! Oh,
This last week, you want to talk about going out on a high note with a fireworks display. My God.
He left no stone unturned. But he pointed out yesterday to me, outside of Spencer Horwitz, who played in 108 games. It wasn't like he barely played. Outside of Spencer Horwitz, the Pirates had below average offensive players at every single position on the field. Every single one. Outside of him.
They do OPS plus, which I know we talk about on this show, is just above 100 means you're better than average. Below 100 means you're not. You're worse than average. He had a 118. There's not another player, not even a guy who, like, I'm checking this to make sure. I don't even think it's guys who wouldn't qualify because they didn't have enough appearances, Donnie. Not one guy over 100 or at 100. Reynolds at 99, he had a horrible year. We can call it what it is, although he did hit 245, and I needed him to hit 243. McCutchen had maybe his worst year as a pro, you could argue. Joey Bart stunk. Like, you're left going, well, what did Matt Haig produce here? Nothing. He didn't fix a guy like Jack Sawinski in the time he had him. Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think it's an indictment. I know he went to a much friendlier hitter park. His OPS with the Reds is about 100 points higher. That still that makes him a mediocre offensive player still, but it takes him a lot higher than probably the worst everyday player offensively in all of baseball. Like, it just, there's nothing on the resume that suggests this guy deserved to be here. So I just wanted to get that off my chest because I think as sort of a coda to a lot of this Pirates news and notes stuff that's been happening over the last day plus, the fact that they let go of the coaches for one reason or another that did the best job in the organization this year and as of right now have retained the one guy who most directly worked with the worst part of this team, that does not have me imbued with optimism that better things are afoot, that better decisions are going to be made in 20.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
26.
It's time for the fan versus the fans. Call in now and flex your intellectual muscle. 412-928-9370. Show the guys how much you know by stumping them with a trivia question that will bring them to their knees and cause their sports minds to explode. Yeah.
It is time for the fan versus the fans. You know how this works because I just explained it 5 minutes ago. If you just turned on your radio, however, you've got a chance to do the following. Come up with a good trivia question, It cannot be so absurdly esoteric that no one would reasonably be able to get it. So it's got to be something that's like kind of in the wheelhouse of normalcy. If you then you get to pick who you ask it to. Pony is a human computer. He's not here today. You have the very fallible Mulsey, the less fallible but still fallible Donnie. The other person will decide if the question is fair, and then if we get it wrong, you go back on hold. You win yourself a $25 gift card to Rival Sports Bar. Locations Fox Chapel, Waterworks, and Collier Town Square. We thank them for putting this out there and sponsoring this little segment. By the way, we have the game on here where Pony is. He's at the Guardians game. I saw a Phantom Fireworks ad on the mezzanine in Cleveland at their park. Now, that's like a big company. Everyone knows who it is. They have their logo. But it made me think, it's October. Why is Spirit Halloween? You know, you see all the jokes when like a team gets eliminated. For example, somebody on the Tigers fans, if they beat the Guardians today and bounce them, somebody's going to Photoshop a picture of a Spirit Halloween banner outside the Guardians stadium. Why doesn't Spirit lean into it and advertise for real during the baseball playoffs? I understand that their overhead is very low because they're just like, hey, you got a dilapidated old building no one's using? Can we put Halloween stuff in there for a month?
Are they like the top-tier pop-up store?
That is a good question. They're like one of one in the category. Do you know what I mean?
Like sometimes around Christmas, you'll get some places that pop up. You'll get the pop-up bars too.
Sure. But like every year in late September, we all know what time it is. That random ass, like there's one, I live out in, you know, I'm out in Robinson a lot. There's one that's a Spirit Halloween at the same time every year. I think it's a building no one will ever rent out. And they just, if a local department store closes, guess what? That bad boy's a Spirit Halloween soon. I just think they should advertise. Maybe they don't need to. Maybe me doing this is good enough for Spirit. All right, let's play the game. First up, let us try. You know, he's technically first in the queue. We'll give our guy Tony in Greensburg a shot on this one. What's up, Tony?
All right, guys. So I'm just making my case for it is a fair question, and I'm going to you, Mulsey, because a little bit older than Donnie, and I know you know some basketball as well.
I'm a lot older than Donnie.
Probably a little bit more than Donnie in the basketball front. Okay,
right.
So the team of the 1990s, any sport, the Chicago Bulls, okay?
Okay.
Two of their big three, Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen, where did they go to college? Two separate schools.
So I think it's fair.
Tough one.
I think it's fair just because we've all seen those Chicago Bulls entrances. And now, and so we all know 6'6 from North Carolina. Like, everyone's getting hyped. Poor Bill Cartwright's ass is out there in 1992.
100%. One of the greatest intros in sports, Michael Jordan of the 90s.
Man, they get, like, Ron Harper in there, and, like, everyone's like, yeah. I always felt bad for Ron Harper and those guys. Like,
I'm willing to give a hint to you, Malty.
All right, so I'm going to get Pippins.
It's not going to make it much easier.
I'm going to get Pippins, so hopefully the hint is about Rodman's. And this is a fair question, Tony. Central Arkansas for Scotty.
Yep.
Do you have a hint for Rodman? Because I am admittedly, here's where my brain's taking me before you give whatever hint you might have. I want to say Rodman played at like a D2 school or something like that. I don't think he played at a big time, like any kind of a big time school.
Yep. Division II in Oklahoma. Good pull on Pippen, honestly.
Pippen, I like. I don't know why. I feel like I know. Division II in Oklahoma. Donnie, put me on a 30-second clock right now. I think that's only fair here.
Okay.
This is a good question too, and you know
it is.
Man, it tickles my fancy because it's a hoops question, and I think there's no team in sports that's more ubiquitous for a certain age of fan than those Bulls teams. Like everyone liked them.
I got you at 15 here, Mulse.
A school at D2 in Oklahoma.
I'm going to give you praise.
I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Oklahoma Central.
Nope, that is incorrect. The correct answer is Southeastern Oklahoma State.
Damn it! It's a good one, though. You know who Jackie Stiles was? She was like the all-time women's scoring leader in D1 women's ball. She went to, I think, Southwest Missouri State, so I can't say that that's too obscure because...
And if there's any shout-out, how about the guys that scouted those guys to find those two? My goodness.
Rodman, by the way, wouldn't... I feel like saying this is very straightforward and not controversial. I don't know if Rodman has a place in today's NBA.
Oh, no chance.
No offense.
He would foul out by the second quarter
that,
before halftime.
But also, they'd be like, wait, you're an undersized power forward who doesn't shoot, doesn't
exactly,
really dribble.
Yep.
All you do is rebound. Yep. Yeah, good one. All right, Tony, back on hold. Our guy Tony in Greensburg, I'm happy for him here. That was a good question. That was very much fair game. He gets that $25 gift card to Rival in Fox Chapel, the Waterworks Collier Town Square, three locations, thanks to our friends at Rival. That was a good one, man. No argument, because I had Pippen right away, and he even gave a hint. I honestly, Rodman is a blind spot there. I just, in my mind, Rodman emerged from, like, the mists with purple hair or whatever, doing weird Sports Illustrated cover shoots with Madonna in a wedding dress, but he's the one in the dress. No idea. You could have told me he went to college in, like, London, and I would believe you.
He was Pistons first, right? And then he was the Bulls.
He was Pistons, and he wasn't, like...
Like bad boy Pistons.
He wasn't character Dennis Rodman.
Until the Bulls.
Well, no, the Spurs, he was character Dennis Rodman for sure. And then Bulls was like Michael Jordan keeping him in line.
Yeah, he's hanging out with Hulk Hogan. He's going on Monday Nitro.
Can you name? All right, let me ask. He's tripping Karl Malone up the court in the 98 NBA Finals, and it was done by WCW as a publicity stunt, and that is like settled canon here that they were paid to do that, for anybody that's wondering. Do me one solid, Donnie. This is unofficial trivia before we get our guy Tony and take care of him during the break with his info. Can you name for me the other two teams that Dennis Rodman played for? We've got three of the five. He played one season each for two teams to finish up his career.
I know the Mavericks were one of them.
Uh-huh. That is the final year of his career. Guy was still averaging 14 boards a game.
Did he spend like a minute or two with the Lakers?
Very good, Donald. Very good. Look at you go. Check out the big brain on
the worm, baby. The worm.
I mean, you want to talk about a stat line that you wouldn't see. He averaged more than 10 points a game once in his entire NBA career. 7 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, 2 assists, a steal, and half a block. What a ridiculous time capsule of a human being.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, PM team, and we go out to the hotline right now to welcome in former MLB pitcher, of course, the pride of Butler. He is Matt Clement, our MLB analyst. We've heard now from Pirates president Travis Williams, from general manager Ben Cherington. Cherington going nowhere. Bob Nutting released a statement through the team. Everybody involved there in the front office, Matt, offering their post-mortem and kind of their autopsy and then plans moving forward for the Pirates. So just before we hear from some of these guys, your initial thoughts about the way the season ended and the fact that the Pirates are charting a course that involves Ben Cherington still staying as general manager next year.
Well, I would say that the season ended. It's hard to say the season ended on a positive. It was a season that was expected to be better. I think the positive is you have all this wealth of young pitching, and you have an obvious chip in Mitch Keller to trade. You have some potential in this hitting group. So did it end on a positive? I don't really know if it ended on a positive. I think in the division they're in, with the pitching they have, you could see a solid future. And I think that Cherington, I feel like we talk about this every couple of weeks, and my take on Cherington is like, until he's allowed to, what is he allowed to do? Nobody knows what he's allowed to do. So he's going to be criticized for what he does or doesn't do, but we don't know if he's allowed to. And I feel like, the one thing he has got right is the draft. And so there is a pot that like the draft has been very good to the Pirates.
Well, recently, because he did draft Henry Davis, if we're being fair here.
True. But like you're 2 or 3 years getting a top prospect in baseball. And if we're going to be fair about the Henry Davis, we've got to be fair about he could have took Dylan Cruz too, and would be
sure.
And it would be awful.
Sure.
So so in that situation, like he has got some stuff right, but I fairly to him, like what is he allowed to do? And that, it's unfair that the Pirates don't basically say, hey, we wouldn't let them. They aren't going to take the ownership's not going to take the blame for this. It's all going to fall on the Cherington.
All right, well, let's hear right now, Matt. I'll play this one for you. We got a couple of different clips I wanted to go over with you. Here's team president Travis Williams, his answer to a question here. You'll hear the question, but basically it's, why is Ben Cherington right to continue on as GM? Here we have Travis Williams.
What gives you the faith that Ben is the right general manager to make this team better in 26?
Our belief and expectation is that this team is a lot closer than our performance and our records would suggest. Our goal is to win in 26 and make the playoffs. Period, full stop. We know that with that in mind, we know that we need to build on the momentum that we've already built, that we already have, and moving forward. We have the best young pitching staff in all of baseball. Got a great core of young position players. In addition to that, we have one of the best farm systems in baseball and the top prospect in baseball.
All right, your thoughts on the really substance of that. Two things I wanted to go over with you specifically there, Matt. Williams saying that they're going to build on the momentum, if you believe that there is momentum, and then talking about a young core of hitters that, as far as I looked all over the place, I got out a fine-tooth comb and a magnifying glass, and other than Connor Griffin coming up, I don't exactly see any young hitters on the horizon that are already on this team.
Well, and to finish kind of to tie together the last conversation we had in this, like, Cherington comes back, because that was in this quote too, you're bringing Donnie Kelly back, who deserves to come back.
A nice extension that I think was there almost like an olive branch to fans. Hey, you seem to like this guy. Now he gets an extension. The guy you don't like is also coming back, by the way.
Well, and it really, to me, some people would disagree that are just disgruntled Pirate fans, that like a new GM's coming in. He wants his own coach. So you make the decision on Donnie. It's hard. That's where I think some of the Cherington decision comes from, in my opinion. I agree with you on the hitters. Like the hitting is not it's not produced. You do have Connor Griffin, so it makes he's a nice shine over everything else. It'd be like having no pitchers in your system, but saying, "Hey, we have Paul Skenes." So we're pretty loaded up. So I can't disagree with you on that front. But I do think there's a nice young core overall, but that young core is 80% pitching. Now, you know, you watched the postseason yesterday though, right? Every game except for the Dodgers game was won with pitching, and great hitters that have hit 50 home runs and everything else were neutralized yesterday, and the scores were 3-1. And, you know,
technically the Dodgers game was won with pitching by a pitcher who hit two home runs, who happens to also DH and is probably the greatest baseball player, at least since Barry Bonds, if not ever. But I get your point.
Right. And I think that, like, okay, so that is the hope. That is the hope of this young core, what they have, what they're dealing with. But, you know, everybody's like, I even down talked the division, but here's the problem. St. Louis isn't going to be happy being bad. They're going to do something. Chicago is in a really good position to get a couple pitchers and maybe be the best team in the National League. Milwaukee, it doesn't seem to matter who they have, and they're really good. And the Reds did what the Pirates were hoping to do this year. So this division all of a sudden doesn't stink. So that's the kind of the hurdle in this young core. But you know, there's avenues, there's paths that the Pirates are in the Reds' position or even above next year.
Travis Williams, also the team president, also pretty much guaranteed that they'd be better next year. Not really much to say about that. You either disagree or agree. But this is what Ben Cherington, who kept his job, who's going to stay on, who is going to be tasked with trying to figure out a way to get this team over the hump after they went five games backwards from 2024 to 2025. This is what he had to say about player acquisition and trying to make, I think really specifically this offense, which is everybody's question, Matt, better in 2025. Here's what the still general manager of the Pirates said about all that.
We got to be ready to be aggressive in acquisition this offseason, whether it's free agency or trade. In our situation, we've got to be willing to assume the risk of trades because free agency is not an open ocean for us. We're going to be able to be targeted there, and we will be. We'll try to be. We'll be in a put ourselves in a position to do that the best we possibly can. But if we want to give ourselves every chance, it's got to be the trade market also. And we got to be prepared to chase down every single thing that we think has a chance to help this team win more games in 26.
I just took that to mean do not expect, I don't know about you, Matt, I'll let you give your own opinion there, but I took that to mean don't expect Bo Bichette or somebody like that to walk through this door to this franchise on a significant free agent contract.
Yeah, no Suarez either. So I guess my thoughts on this, like Ben Cherington's off season, unless he gets lucky with a reclamation project or an older guy that comes in and has a career year, whatever it is going to come down to what this Keller trade is. And I think that's why he didn't make the Keller trade at the deadline, because nothing seemed right to him. Because this is what it's going to, that's the biggest chip you have, and maybe taking some chances. When he says taking some chances, maybe taking some chances is, do we deal a Bubba Chandler, or do we deal, you know, a Jared Jones or some of these Barco, some of these bigger pitching prospects that we have a glutton of right now for probably one of the only teams in baseball that do. But like, they aren't the challenge he has is, I think the best players to come help this lineup are going to come from this Keller trade. And I think the Keller trade is inevitable. Not because I don't think Keller's good. It'd be great to have him head this rotation with Skenes and have the two veteran guys there. It would be a luxury to do that. I just feel like contract-wise, where they are-wise, he's the trade they got to make. He has a big value attached to him, and it's just like they can't mess this one up, because if they mess this up, no matter who they get in free agency, it's probably not going to be enough.
Here's the last one I got for you, Matt, and then I have one other thing we need to get to, because there were some terminations or some at least guys who will not be returning to the coaching staff that I wanted to get your two cents on. But this is the last thing from Ben Cherington when he met with the media, specifically talking about taking some risks. Here's what he had to say there.
In Pittsburgh, we need to be making bets on guys who are not proven. We may be able to make some bets on guys that are proven, and we'll pursue that too, but some of the targets have to be guys who are unproven. I believe we're getting more clear all the time on what the combination of traits are that we should be making the best bet on. So in terms of acquisition, that's what I would say.
All right, here's my two cents there. I wanted to bounce this off of you. this one is not a situation where I say, well, he's hamstrung by finances, so what do you expect? Other GMs do a better job of getting some of these riskier players and actually having rolling those dice and having them, you know, come up with a good number, so to speak. And I guess I would just say, Matt, why would a Pirates fan think that if Ben Charrington's the one still making bets on unproven players, that those bets are going to pay off, given what we've seen largely thus far in his tenure?
Well, I mean, your statement, it's hard to argue with your statement. And I guess and it goes that's where it goes.
Is that
back
him
to.
Or is that his scouting department? Like, what? Who really bears the blame is maybe the more pertinent question there for the fact that they haven't found diamonds in the rough with the kind of regularity that, like, a Brewers or another sort of more competitive, consistent, small market team has done.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, it's a combination of everything. But it's who you're giving up too. Like, the Pirates haven't given up. When they're talking diamonds in the rough, I'm not thinking of like player to be named later, hitting a jackpot on something like that. I'm thinking about like the Bednar trade. But how many Bednar trades have there been where they've gotten, you know, a guy that's a top 10 prospect in the organization and different things like that? You know, they have to be able. You aren't given when you aren't making a lot of those trades. I think some of these other organizations, they have this formula. Tampa, like, you know, I'll use Tampa, for example. They get the player good. He's about to get paid. We trade him away. We get three prospects. But they're doing that so often that they're going to hit. You know, when the Pirates, the people they're giving away are much, you know, you're not going to get as much back. So it's harder to hit the jackpot on that.
I'll switch to from what guys were saying to what actually happened. Oscar Marin, you would think the guy who presided over a very good pitching staff this year that was better than solid, upper echelon across the board, would keep his job. He did not. Assistant pitching coach Brent Strom, a guy I know people have credited with some of the development of pitchers not named Paul Skeens, also gone. Mike Rabello, also gone. As of me and you speaking, however, right now, Matt Haig, the man who oversaw the worst Pirates offense quite literally this century, still in the wind here. We don't know what's going to happen. So what do you make of the architects, in many ways, of this good pitching staff being let go, Matt?
Well, let's start with Haig. I think, you know, if you fired Haynes last year and then you fire Haig for the same reason, it's kind of a redundant move that you're making. So, I mean, again, do I agree or disagree? That doesn't matter. I'm looking at it as why, you know, why this goes down. Like, did he really have his chance to do this? Whatever the case may be, we're going to give him another go at it. Maybe that's the reasoning behind that. As far as the pitching staff goes, like, you know, as somebody that has a history with Brett Strom, you know, as he was a minor league coordinator of mine way back when. And I don't think people realize, like, what he did in Houston and what he did in Arizona kind of gets kind of forgotten about on their big runs and developing pitchers. And like his fingerprints, in my opinion, are all over why this staff was so good this year. And it came down to him. Like, I don't know the exact terminology. It looked like he resigned rather than they let him go. And that's for somebody else to answer, not me. But, you know, I think Brent Strom, like, there's a chance he retires, probably, because that's in the rumors. There's a chance he's the pitching coach for somebody else next year. And I don't know, you know, what's the thought process? And he's an old man, you know, so you might not want to anchor this whole staff to that or whatever the case may be. But to me, if I'm outside looking in, I think he's probably one of the bigger reasons this staff did so well, and maybe he's ready to call it quits. So that's where he went. And you know, I don't know the insides or outs. I just know Brent Strom, and I know what he's done the last 15 years, we'll say, of his career have been very, very successful. And I think he'll be wanted if he decides he wants to continue to coach.
Matt Clement, our MLB analyst, former pitcher, of course, and the pride of Butler. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Matt. Thank you.
Can I ask you one question before we go?
You are allowed.
Okay. As a Pirate person, a Pirate media personality, do you, as you watch the postseason and these other teams, are you for or against the small market teams? For them because it's a good story and it gives the Pirates hope, or against them because, you know, it makes the Pirates look worse in their situation?
So wait, for them because you like the story, or like, oh, am I? Here's I guess the best way I can answer that. Man, yep. You got me with a good question too. Don't ask too many of those good questions. They're just going to replace me with you here. All right. I do this. My gut tells me the story is always what I root for. It's very hard not to root for David against Goliath, broadly speaking, like the Reds over the Dodgers. But yep. Then I say, as a fan, what team is doing more for their fans? The one that spends as much money as they possibly can, basically, or the one that probably could spend more in almost every one of these cases? In fact, definitely could if they wanted to. The Reds, I'm not just limiting us to the Pirates, or the Guardians, the Reds, every one of them. Who do I really want to root for? The principal, the brain part of me says, I'm rooting for the bigger market teams. Like, I you know what? You know who I root for more than anybody? San Diego. They have, in a smaller market, just said, screw it, we are going to keep spending money and trying to make this work, and that is what resonates with me more than any small market team story.
Yeah, and I think I worded it wrong. More so, like, if the small market teams have success, then MLB maybe doesn't make an adjustment.
That's more what I, yeah, that's how I took it, because that's why I always root for the big market teams, because every time a small market team does something like the Royals in 2015, I just say, well, that justifies everything Rob Manfred says about keeping the status quo.
Awesome. I was interested to hear your opinion.
Matt, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
He put me under the broiler. What the hell's that? Threw the question right back at me. That is, I mean, you know, Donnie, how I've gotten, how cynical I've gotten. I don't want to see these small market teams usually win, unless the Pirates get in there, and then, of course, all bets are off. The Guardians winning the World Series this year, if it were to happen, would just confirm all of Rob Manfred's priors. He'd be like, yeah, that's fine. That's great. See, look, parody. It's wonderful. I root for... Philosophically now, I am aligned with the Dodgers or the Padres, like I said. Teams that are, like, going for it and trying to win and not saying they're trying to win. Teams whose actions suggest urgency.
I mean, the Brewers have a real shot, and think about that market size. They were the best team in baseball.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to root for teams whose success would then justify the continuation of the status quo. I can't. I can't get there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.